Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Good morning to all of you out there. Great to have you with us today on Political Coffee. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to call in today and comment on about the things that I'm going to put in front of you today that I think are important for you, our audience, to consider.
To consider in what, Jeff?
To consider in using to change your world by persuading a persuadable person, leading that horse to water, and believing that sooner or later, that horse will figure out it is in their best interest to drink. Drink from what? The fountain of liberty, friends. Precious right brought to our world by men and women with courage and vision to do something that had never been done before, to form a constitutional republic where the rights of the minority are protected from the tyranny of the majority. That's what a constitutional republic it is. And that's what we are, at least for now. And that's why it's incumbent upon each and every one of you to continue to secure those rights of liberty, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, our inalienable rights given to us by God Almighty and not by man or government or tyrannical governors like Kate Brown or Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, suffered his fifth and stinging, this one particularly stinging, defeat by the U.S. Supreme Court last Friday. You may have heard about this. What you may not understand is how this ruling in California about religious gatherings has profound implications for us in Oregon and for H.R. 1 in Congress. In fact, I think they may have just dealt H.R. 1 the death blow it so deserves. I'm going to get into that with you because it is profound and you need to know it, because it is going to relate to, again, something so basic, so very basic that everybody gets it. And I'm going to share that with you. Well, everybody gets it except the four liberal justices. Yes, there are three. And then there's John Roberts, who, by the way, voted once again, against you and your inalienable rights guaranteed by a constitution. Also, there's something that's going on in state for you state workers, and I'm going to get into that here in a moment. I got an email from a state worker, and I think this is important that we share this, because the weariness of what's happening with COVID restrictions and the policies around it at all levels is just, it's mind-boggling. And it's also changing people's perspectives. And that's a good thing, because it's waking people up. And it's time that happened. Also, I want to share with you a little bit about the 2022 Republican governor primary and a poll that's out on Oregon Catalyst. And I'm going to share with you why you should ignore it. And then Breitbart, of course, has video, along with everything that was happening in Minnesota last night. Well, it happened in downtown Portland. Yes, we had another riot. That's a Gateway Pundit story. In Portland, declared riot in Portland. It was peaceful, right? You see, the peaceful protesters peacefully set those dumpsters on fire last night, as the videos show. And they peacefully threw rocks through windows at the police precinct. And they peacefully threw fireworks at police. And police and peacefully chanted, every city, every town, burn the precincts down. Last night in Portland. Oh, did I also mention? Gateway Pundit also has a story about how they broke the windows of a church founded by immigrants. Yes. And if I get to it, Lars's piece in The Catalyst about Biden's gun plan. Yeah. Anyway, a state worker who shall not be named sent me this email, and I want to read it to you because this person only is allowed, because they're driving to work, they can only listen until about 20 minutes after. So I want to get this out because I think this is important. That we, those of us who don't work for the state of Oregon or don't work for a government with similar rules, we need to understand what it is they're going through, folks. Hi, Jeff. I am yet another state worker due to management not being fond of us speaking out who would like to remain anonymous. I will honor that. Did you know that for the last year, I'm reading from the email, by the way, folks, state workers have been able to use special time code that allows them to take paid leave off without using any of their personal accrual time for childcare issues related to COVID? No, I didn't know that. This person continues. I believe in the beginning this was a needed thing. I was glad my coworkers have the ability to use it. We all know what a struggle those early months were. Well, Jeff, I work at a place, and after a year of this, I'm tired. Those of us who show up because we either don't have kids or have adult children bear the brunt and the weight of the staffing load. We don't have the ability to work from home. Our patients need us here. Staffing is at an emergency level. They're pulling other professionals such as social workers, psychologists, and treatment staff to work the floors. Due to the staffing crisis, many blank staff, that's the agency, I'm not going to tell you what it is, are seeing mandates on the rise. There are times that I will get floated two or three times in my work week and other units that need staff. Two other units, rather, that need staff. Just this week, the powers that be have put out a form that all state employees will have to fill out and discuss with their supervisor. It vaguely goes into why you haven't been able to secure your child care needs. I realize that child care is a huge issue, and many businesses may not come back. I just hope that someday all this craziness will subside and we'll get a glimpse of normalcy back. Thanks for letting me bend your ear. And thanks for telling us all about the Janus decision years ago. I opted out as soon as I could. What struck me about this email is the inequity. You know, we hear so much from the left and from the Democrats about equality, right? Look at the inequity that their own policies are creating within the ranks of state workers. What struck me was that this person is just tired. Tired after a year of a policy that allows some people to just not show up. And others to show up and have to carry their load. In fact, it's so bad, they're pulling in people, professionals, from other areas of endeavor to just staff at emergency levels. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because morally and ethically, you shouldn't be doing this as a government. You cannot, and folks, what they're doing, you need to understand this. They're getting paid to take time off outside of everything else. They're getting paid not to show up to work, while other people who don't have kids are being have to pick up the load. And it's wearing people out. This is a consequence of bad decisions by a governor who probably doesn't even know this is happening. And even if she did, doesn't care. She will say she cares, but like every leftist, every Marxist, it's not what they say, it's what they do that matters. This is wrong. And I feel for, and I'm quite certain that this is not just a situation unique to this particular agency. I'm quite certain that there are others like it. A principle of liberty of the founding of this country is that everybody carries their weight. Remember, they tried the socialist idea at the beginning of the foundation of this country with the first settlers here, pilgrims, and it didn't work. And it's not working here. Now, there's a benefit to this, is that people like this state worker who listen to the show, and thank you for doing it, and thank you for sharing this, because I didn't know this. They have the ability now. Here's the silver lining in this ugly storm cloud. They have the ability to now begin to persuade other people in their governmental units, carefully, to begin moving their way philosophically towards us, those of us who believe in liberty. Not a political party, folks. Those of us who believe in liberty. They have the ability, because of this inequity, to point out the inequity at its most basic level and how they can use it to help persuade people over time to change their political allegiances. Because this is just wrong. And it's immoral. And it's unethical. But it's what you get from the left that always says, do as I say, but not as I do. Again, a very common sense way to ask people that are in your work unit, maybe it's private business and they have the same idea, but I'm telling you here for state workers, ask them, how well did do as I say, but not as I do work with your children? No different here. It produces resentment, but in that resentment is an opportunity for liberty. 620, back in a moment, because this leads us to the Supreme Court decision on religious liberty and how profound it is for you and the future.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. Great to have you with us on Political Coffee. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to jeff@1220.am. Or jeff@kslm.news. Got an email from Ben about my Trump U thesis yesterday. So the biggest fear liberal politicians have right now is that the failure is their failure to cancel Donald Trump and his followers. I think their efforts to cancel him have just increased the Trump movement, and this is driving them crazy. Sure sign that they're planning to violate us in the present is the presence of troops at the Capitol. We need to recruit more of the persuadable any chance we get. We're at a time in this country that we really need to stand against all that threatens us and vote out the rhinos. Well said, Ben. And that is appropriate for a number of reasons why, including, by the way, and caller, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in just a second. The stupid liberal comment of the day has to go to Rashida Tlaib, congresswoman, radical, leftist, who said no more policing or incarceration in her tweet last night. No more. So I wonder how she would feel if, let's say, a bad guy broke into her house and raped her. No more policing or incarceration. Just let him go. And our Republican stupid quote of the day, our rhino stupid quote of the day, has to go to former conservative and former Ohio Governor John Kasich. Breitbart story. Trump's ugly name calling will continue to shrink the Republican Party. Hey, John, you might take note of the 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump. A mere 12 million more than 4 years prior. And you think he shrunk the party? You know who he shrunk the party of? People like you. And that's a good thing, in my humble opinion. So also is your opportunity to have your car looked at for free at Mr. Transmission Mile X. That's Wilsonville Auto Repair up in Wilsonville. Yep. They will go up. They just don't do transmissions. They do a lot of stuff. They will look at your car and analyze it for free. Check it out. It's worth it. Go to their website, WilsonvilleMrTMileX.com. That's Wilsonville Mr. T Mile X.com. Let's go to our caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say? Welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. What's your name?
If you want to share it with me. Well,
if you don't, that's
Jeff,
fine.
I just wanted to let you know that not only I'm talking about the email you read earlier.
Yes.
Well, that's going on in several places, Jeff. I'm a state worker also.
Okay.
And that's going on in several places. I work for, an adult daycare center. And it's believed that people are being able to use is running rampant, and it's causing the same issues.
Do you think, caller, that it is creating... do you think that some of these people are just using it dishonestly rather than really needing it?
Absolutely.
And that's too bad. So are you, I mean, do you share this person's frustration and tiredness with this?
Oh, absolutely. There's people that work 16 plus hours every day.
Wow. And are you getting paid overtime for that? I would think you are, aren't you? But that doesn't make it any easier, does it?
Absolutely not. And the sad thing is that they've extended it through the end of June.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been going on since last March or April.
Wow. But you're in the type of work that somebody's got to do it. Otherwise, people die. I mean, it's that big a deal.
24/7.
Wow. So, how do you think it's? Is management? I'm sure they're aware of it, but I mean, how are they going to try? Are you guys able to complain to them to tell them, look, you, this isn't fair to us?
There's nothing you can do, really. It is what it is, and people's time off gets approved, and there's nothing you can do about it. And there's people out there who are using it that are not truthful, and it's causing a lot of people to have to work a lot of additional hours.
Well, and there's more to life than just work, isn't there?
Well, that's what we're told, but that's, on the other hand, that's not exactly seems to be what happens.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm first of all, I'm grateful that you listen, and secondly, I deeply appreciate your commitment to do the right thing, as difficult as it is for you. Do you think there are opportunities? I mean, are there other people that are like you that are starting to really question how all of this is playing out?
Oh, yes. The sentiment goes very deep with a lot of other people there. And when you consider there's multiple facilities that are ran, that this is not just one place that this happens at. This happens at multiple places.
Yeah, that's, well, last thing quickly before you go, because we're about through the bottom of the hour break. Do you think this could have been done differently and still had a good outcome?
Yeah. My sentiments about it are that the COVID situation has been blown up into something that I don't believe it really is. And I believe they're using it as a political tool.
And I think you're right. Hey, thank you so much for calling. Be safe and keep your chin up. I deeply appreciate
you. Thank you, Jeff.
Doing the right thing. Thank you. Back in a moment. It's 6:30. I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court ruling on religious liberty and what it means to you.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Just like the one I got from Walt. He said, you mentioned something about upcoming classes concerning voter integrity in Albany. Is there any contact information you can share with us on this subject? Not quite yet, but let me tell you, it's going to be Saturday, May 1st. And I may have a couple of surprises for you. Janice Deisinger, who is the grassroots person that I have known for many years, I have great trust in her, has been a long-time election observer and voter integrity person. She's tracked this. She knows the laws of Oregon better than anybody. She has incredible stories to tell about how it actually works. She led the effort that you guys know about. Some of you participated in, thank you, at Polk County. She's going to be leading this class, and it's about election observing. But we also are hoping to have Representative Mike Nierman, who's our kind of our data guru on this project. He has some very interesting data to share that, well, he has gleaned out of who actually voted in Oregon. Okay? And some interesting anomalies about that. All of this is going to be May 1st. It's going to be in Albany at a church. And I'm sort of going to keep that to a minimum. I think... in terms of letting that known, because I don't have security aligned yet, and with Antifa rioting and intimidating and Black Lives Matter, I'm not sure I want to put that out there yet. But anyway, it's going to be May 1st. It'll be all day from 1 till about 5 or 4:30, whatever. It's going to be a long day, but I may have a very special surprise for you. We'll see. Anyway, Walt continues talking about Bill, who called in talking about the experience he'd had in Montana with the Jeremy Rags of Shame mandates. He said, my wife and I experienced similar things in our travels around Eastern and Central Oregon last weekend. It was so cool going into local establishment and being a compassionate human being again. Wow. By the way, he lauds both Tim and Glenn. He's connecting with their thought-provoking statements. And specifically, Glenn, at the River Church, Kathy showed up, one of our another great listeners who calls often, and waited for you because she really wants to talk to you, Glenn. So let's try to make that happen, okay? It would, you know, I love it when I can connect people in our audience who want to talk with other people. That's just, that's at least part of the value of this show. So also are our advertisers like Freedom Heating and Air. They're a great group of people. You know, they've been in business in Salem here well over 40 years. They believe in freedom. They've stuck with us advertising, even though they've gotten harassed for it by the left. Good for them. We ought to reward that. But not only just because they stuck with us, but because they're a great company and they do good things to make your life better. Why don't you check them out on the web? freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net. The Federalist has a story today about religious freedom and the latest U.S. Supreme Court slapdown of the Marxist agenda of Governor Gavin Newsom, which is strikingly similar to Kate Brown's. But so in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court said this, that Governor Gavin Newsom could not prohibit Bible studies in your home. Why? Because he treated other indoor gatherings differently, just like Kate Brown has been doing. So while this is a win, and this is written by Margot Cleveland, it's in the Federalist, and I'll have it up on the show plan on my Facebook page and also the KSLM.news podcast page. When you go to Political Coffee, click on that. You can click on this show or any other show and see the actual links of the stories that I talk about. Margot Cleveland is a lawyer, longtime lawyer. But the significance of this is something that's important for you and your religious liberty. And here's what it is. It signifies the reemergence of religious liberty as a valued jurisprudential principle to the Supreme Court. What that means is that religious liberty is once again emerging as a foundational principle recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, you would think that's kind of automatic, right? Well, it isn't, folks. What happened is a pastor challenged restrictions by the California Department of Public Health placed on Bible studies and prayer meetings held not at church, but in people's homes, as part of the Golden State's, quote, blueprint for a safer economy. Doesn't the left always have these wonderful, just sounding names they give their tyrannical approaches that are unconstitutional? The thinking person says, wait a minute, that's anything but a blueprint for a safer economy. It's more like a blueprint for the destruction of my liberty. But it sounds good to the non-thinking person that just listens to the headlines. Anyway, they ultimately, this case made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And John Roberts joined the leftist again. But in an unsigned order, and yes, they can do that, a majority of the court, 5-4, and yes, it was the usual suspects, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Justice Alito, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett that all said, nope, you cannot treat them different than other businesses when it comes to requiring or to just prohibiting it, even though you allow the other businesses. But the biggest thing about this is what this does now. The implication for you and I is it relates to H.R. 1. You just heard one of our advertisers, the Pacific Justice Institute, talk about H.R. 1 and how it damages our religious liberty in so many ways. And a lot of churches are waking up to it, including my own church, Life Bible, in Harrisburg, Oregon. In fact, they have, this is such a big deal to them, they not only preached on it, the pastor did, but it's up on our website. And it ought to be a big deal. There are four core points from the decision. Number one, government regulations are not neutral and generally applicable and trigger strict scrutiny under the free exercise clause of the First Amendment of religion. They're not neutral whenever they treat any comparable secular activity more favorably than religious exercise, period. So it gets back to everything we preached, right? This is why we held, and many of you participated, and thank you for doing it. Remember last May, we held on the steps of the Capitol building of Oregon, when you could still stand on the steps of the Capitol building because it's still fenced off. We held religious protest worship services. Because, and they let us alone, even though we were quote-unquote prohibited from doing it, we did it. Why? Because they were letting rioters, they were letting Black Lives Matter protests go on. You can't treat them differently. That's the first point. Second, now, this is the U.S. Supreme Court now. Second, whether two activities are comparable for purposes of the free free exercise clause must be judged against the asserted government interest that justifies the regulation. So in other words, it has to be judged against government's true interest. You can't just say it, Kate, with no justification behind it in terms of actual data or being not comparable. You have to treat us the same. You can't just say it. You have to show you have an interest. Number three, the government has the burden to establish that the challenged law satisfies strict scrutiny. You have to be able to say, okay, we're going to prohibit this, but it is in line with the rulings and the scrutiny as to why we're going to do it and the way the courts have ruled. And frankly, it's in line with the Constitution. And finally, the Supreme Court noted that even if the government withdraws or modifies, and this is important, a COVID restriction in the course of litigation, that doesn't necessarily moot the case. As long as the plaintiffs remain under threat, the government officials will reinstate the challenged restrictions. The case remains alive. Now, the court issued an injunction. Here's what they did. Now, here's how it applies to us and extends this further. And this should bring us some comfort. The court said it is clear. They used the word clear, and that has a meaning in legality, especially in court orders. And this injunction is, and I'll get to that when we come back. It's profound what it means for our religious liberty and for H.R. 1. Back in a moment, 648.
Let the music take control. We're going to party, lively, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing my song.
Call Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Ashley sent me an email that said months ago there was discussions about someone paying for an audit of votes cast in one Oregon county. If I recall correctly, it wasn't for a primary, but nevertheless, I felt like it was Tigris. Do you know what happened? Yes, that's we didn't pay for that. We just did it. We had to pay a little bit. There was a few dollars involved, but it was virtually nothing. It was Polk County. It was done as an exercise and a test. Now, a broader, like in Multnomah County, where it ought to be done for the last election, that would be different. That's why we've been waiting on data to be released through Mike Lindell or other sources that relate to, shall we say, data flowing back and forth from several locations on election night in Oregon to, Europe, maybe China. We don't have that data. We'd like to have it. Nevertheless, there are things we can do to ensure local elections are right in Oregon, and we're going to talk about those on May 1st. So just stay tuned. Keep your powder dry. I will make it opportunistic for you to join us. We're going to go to the phones in a moment, but I need to finish this thought and also remind you that Eric Azar Righteous Renovations is a contractor you literally can trust, because you don't always know what kind of contractor you're getting when, especially if you're talking about a bathroom remodel or a kitchen remodel that really disrupts your life and your home. That's what they specialize in at Righteous Renovations. Check them out on the web, righteousrenovations.com. Look at the great before and after pictures, and more importantly, look at the customer testimonials. Very satisfied customers. righteousrenovations.com. The clear issue that the Supreme Court issued in this injunction against Gavin Newsom in California Friday is powerful. Because what it says is that when the Obamacare led to the lawsuit of the Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby, the court ruled in Hobby Lobby's favor, but it ruled in them based on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and not the Free Exercise Clause of the Constitution. The ruling Friday was on the Free Exercise Clause of the U.S. Constitution. It may well, then, she writes, be the only remaining protection of the conscience rights. But the decision last week suggests the High Court intends to resurrect those conscience rights by giving a most favored status of religious freedom. That's going to play out if H.R. 1 becomes federal law. It'll immediately be challenged to the courts, and should be, because it is an infringement of our rights for churches. It will lead to what I think is going to happen in Oregon, and that is the criminalization of hate speech as anything that the left says is hate speech when a preacher preaches it. That's where we're headed, folks. And that's why this particular ruling Friday on the Free Exercise Clause of the Constitution is profound. Because it's going to be hard for the traitor John Roberts to screw this one up. This man needs to be exposed for the fraud he is. And he also needs to be prayed for. And I mean that sincerely, folks. All right. Got to go to the phones. We'll start first with Art and then on to Glenn. Art, go.
Obviously, John Roberts does need to be replaced. But unfortunately, you know, Biden has put together his commission to examine the courts.
Yeah.
And we know what that's going to say. You know, it's all scary stuff. There is no doubt about it. Not surprised about what's going on in our state government. There are a lot of people out there that take advantage of the system and, you know, don't go to work, you know, have excuses. Let me tell you, this pandemic has not been easy on anybody, but our family, I mean, we got school-age grandkids, and the family has adjusted and worked together to make sure that everybody went to work and got to go to work. But we know some state workers take advantage of the system, don't do their jobs, and of course the good employees have to suffer for it. Well, one thing I do want to say, Jeff, if I was a state worker, I sure as hell would not want to go to work and wear a face diaper all day long. It's hard enough for me to have to wear them going into my locations and servicing my machines for an hour. And let me tell you, by the time I get out of there, I got to rip that mask off. And I won't say that I cheat a little while I'm in there also. But
be careful. Don't admit that. Art, thank you. I share your sentiment. I don't know how anybody's required to do it, has to do it all day long wearing a face mask. It blows me away. I don't. Folks, I farm. I don't have to. Art, thank you. I got to move on to Glenn. Glenn, good morning.
Okay, have a great
day. See ya.
Yes, it's very interesting that many agency people are calling in and the stress it's creating in their lives. But when we created these agencies, they were working for us. They were doing the jobs that were designed for. So to be critical of all, I am critical because of the changes being made at the top brass, not at the bottom. Of course, the boots on the ground are suffering from the decisions of the top brass. And I'm hearing the distress, like you're saying, and callers are calling in and talking about the intense pressure that they have to do the job of several people. Nobody likes doing that. I've been in jobs like that, and you've probably been in a job like that where you were forced to do that. But it means then that people are waking up. Just like you said, Jeff, people are waking up to the reality that the top brass is changing the nation on purpose, not only at the secular level, but at the county, state, city levels, against the will of many of its own workers. And that is where you wanted to see the movement to start, to make change. That's what we're seeing. And as far as the habit and the habit for the one particular church, and Muhammad is the habib, all are face masks, and now we have the secular face mask. They all are sending a message. They all have some sort of religious attachment. They don't want to admit it, but there is a true religious attachment to this.
You're right, there is, Glenn. Glenn, thank you. And by the way, Kathy wants to meet up with you, so why don't you come to the next River Church Chris Ann Hall event? Maybe we can make that happen.
You bet.
All right. Walt, did you hear that? All right, it's 6:59. Thank you all for listening. Be blessed out there. Keep praying for this great nation. Be determined to preserve liberty.